Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space.
Welcome to a special MHI podcast live from the show floor here at ProMat 2025, where we're talking all about the solutions community. Now, this is the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to give us case studies and emerging technologies and communities that maybe we should be a part of. Today, we're joined by solutions community members Vikram Kaluru, Industry 4.0 leader at Thermo Fisher Scientific, and Bill Stenger, Senior Vice President of Sales at Swiss Log Americas. Thank you both for joining us for this conversation.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Bill, please start by just telling us a little bit, what is the MHI Solutions Community?
Yeah, so I've personally been involved for quite some time now. I presently serve as the Vice Executive Director. I've been sitting on the committee for, let's say, going on my third year. Seen the group go through a tremendous, growth. I think right now we're over 100 members, companies. I think probably 80 plus of those are actually presenting or have booths at the show today.
Okay, so 80 like leading companies.
Yeah, it's become quite a diverse, large group of both, OEM, manufacturers, integrators, and then practitioners like Vikram here, which that makes solutions very unique, right? It's the only industry group that has the practitioner and the people delivering the services and the products.
The thing is, I bring a practitioner's perspective here. I've been with the council for about a year and a half now. The good thing is we go beyond the technology. We go and look at what is needed, what is the roadmap, where do they want to go in 3-4 years, and work with each other to come up with a solution.
Yeah, let's actually go to the base of that. What is the solution community in terms of how it works? So I'm someone thinking of joining. What is it going to give me? What does my participation look like?
Solutions community is intended to be the voice of the market and the MHE companies, as well as the practitioners. Let's say safe space, if you may, where we can talk about the challenges that are happening in the industry and the supply chain in general, and some of the efforts we can take, like Swiss Log, for instance, to, address like what Vikram's going through hypothetically, right? It has been, for me, really, really eye-opening when we have our practitioners, our end users on the stage at our meetings and be able to tell their story, take this on their journey, right? And allow us to take that information back to our teams and communicate that to our organizations, right?
And it gives practitioners an opportunity to understand what's out there. Not everybody is well-versed with what we have here at ProMat, right? So they may be coming here for the first time, or they may not even know that there is something called ProMat exists, right? But they do know that they need some kind of automation or technology for their operations, but where do we begin? And that is exactly where the solution committee comes in, and you have SwissLog or one of these big 80 leading companies here. This person who has no idea how to start, everybody in the same room talking about where do we go, right? That is the best scenario that we can create there.
So on that, if someone wants to find you while at the show, how is the solution community integrated into ProMat?
Yeah, so there's actually signage at each of the booths. So if we're a member company, we have that sitting in our booth, you'll know very clearly that you're part of the solutions community.
Great, that's very clear. And what are some of the key benefits of the solutions community? So you talked a bit about kind of how it works, but what are you seeing as the main things that the people participating or companies participating are really holding on to?
I would say at the basic level, it's more academic, where we introduce a lot of jargon and concepts and the types of solutions out there, and then it goes beyond that. Now you have the solutions. We talk about those solutions. We have somebody coming in and say, I don't know what WES is or WCS is. We talk about that. And then they come up with, well, this is what we are looking for. What can you do for us? And that's where we came together again. Everybody from practitioner and solution providers to say, let's create a forum, a platform that makes it easy to work on. And this, what I'm holding in my hand is exactly like that. We made it so easy that you can just go scan it. There is an intake form. Somebody can talk about who they are, what they want, and where they want to be in the next 2-3 years. We prune out some of the information and share it across all the people who can provide those solutions, and we get it. The intention is not to tilt any scale towards any technology, but more towards who all can solve that problem that this customer has, and we present that idea to this person. Now, that's the first stop for the practitioner to say, oh, there is something out here I can work with.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. So I've got a problem, I present my information, you're gonna black out my personal or company information so you don't know who's got that challenge. Yeah. Then you get all kinds of different solutions back. There might be something you didn't realize was a possibility to solve what you're facing. Do you have any examples of that happening? Have you, I know maybe you've only seen certain cases yourself.
Let's look at ProMat this year, like how many diverse types of solutions out there to solve similar problems. I mean, whether you're going from a traditional ASRS, cubic storage, shuttle versus the grid, yeah. Humanoid robots, AMRs. I mean, there's so many different solutions that allow us to, let's say, meet individual practitioners where they are on their own, let's say, automation journey.
So if you're a first-time attendee here at ProMat and you're just hearing about this, you didn't know it existed, a lot of things are new here. Like you say, there's lots of different solutions. How should they engage with the solutions community?
First off, get involved. You know, I say this to all my industry colleagues, is unless they hear you, unless you participate, how are we supposed to make a change, right? And so I challenge everyone in our industry to get involved within the solution community. Like, there's a lot to take away. I mean, I've got nearly almost 10 years with this group now, and it has been not only great for networking and understanding what's going on in the market, but also expanding my own knowledge, right? And yet, while I've been in this industry for nearly 15 years, there's a lot of young men and women that are coming up the ranks that would benefit greatly from getting involved. So push their companies to sign up, to become member companies, contribute. I mean, we're all busy people, right? It takes me, I have 1 hour a month to be part of solutions community. And I get 2 meetings a year that are nice destinations. you know, we can find the time and it benefits the entire industry.
It's like we said, when we strip off the names, it just makes it so even playing field for everybody. It's not, definitely not tilting towards anything. I can talk about myself, why I got into this, right? When I speak to my leadership, you have no idea how many times I had to explain the difference between an AMR and an AGV before we even get to what I'm proposing, right? So there's a lot of effort that goes into going through the basics before the business case goes in, and that makes getting the project done very difficult. So if more people join the solutions committee as practitioners, as solution providers, anybody, then there is a certain level of understanding and knowledge that goes around, which helps the decision-making process also, right? It's very organic. Internally, it could be a slow process, but it's a solid process. And that's the whole intention of the solution committee. We want everybody to participate. Come and join us.
I love that. And in what both of you were saying, it comes down to the connections with the people that you have on your team or within this community. So tell us a little bit more about kind of the meaningful connections as part of this group. I know there's a lot of different networking opportunities out there. How does this one differ? What does that look like if someone's getting involved?
We identify an opportunity at our inbound process in the distribution centers where we notice that a lot of the work is manual. Receiving it, processing the pallet, counting the stuff, putting it away, everything is manual on our side. It takes a long time to do that. So we've been trying to digitize the process. Are there solutions out there that are served on the silver plate? No, we got to build on it. So I approached the solution committee saying, hey, this is something that I'm trying to solve. Who should I talk to? Interestingly, there were 5 members in that particular meeting who were looking at the same thing that I was looking at. So it's a common shared pain, and now we all started brainstorming together, like, what can we do? Can we bring in AGVs, RFID scanners, voice technologies, this and that? Now we are trying to brainstorm and come up with a solution that could be helpful to everybody, like deploy once, scale later, however you think about it. But if I were to think about it myself sitting at my office desk, I don't know how much of a headspace I would make, but this, people coming from different backgrounds, working on a similar problem, coming up with a unique solution. I think that is where I get excited about.
It's a true kind of deep connection that you're actually making because you're solving a challenge together.
There's a lot of great technology on this floor. At the end of the day, the software is kind of the glue that holds all these different technologies together. You're integrating best-in-class technologies from across the industry, and we're putting an emphasis on software, but there's a lot of knowledge to be gained. I mean, I'm a sales guy, right? I don't know a lot about software beyond kind of like the very basic skin deep stuff. Having these subcommittees like software allows us and empowers us to understand more like what's going on. WMS versus WES versus WCS, you know, machine calls. These are all topics that are being addressed within these subcommittees or the condition monitoring. The importance of not just building high throughput automation, but like maintainability and availability and maintenance, and having these groups collaborating and talking is really great for me.
And also, we want a direct audience with solution providers like Swisslog, because when we are working on any project, one of the biggest concerns with the modern automation, old style conveyors and all, yes, we have lots of support who can come and fix it. But post-install support has been a major problem. And again, that's another instance of a shared pain for everybody. If we go in and say, I am bringing you this Swisslog's PowerStore in our facility, I have heard people who got overwhelmed, like, who is going to support that, right? It's a scary part, like, yeah, it's a good question. Who is going to support it? How do we do that? So we wanted the direct audience with the solution providers saying, hey, we are concerned about it. What can you do to alleviate the fears of our leaders that once you install, we will have continuous support and it is not going to impact our business? There are many good ideas from different solution providers, but we're trying to get to a point where which is always available. It really assures people and not break the bank, right? It's a learning process. I think it goes both ways, but these are the things we would want to have face-to-face, not like look up on a Google or anywhere, what is Swisslog doing, what is Bastion doing, what is AutoStore doing. It's not gonna give you that answer what I get directly talking to you. And sometimes you may also say, you know what, let me do something different for you that could be useful. Because we talk about turnover all the time. I have a team, say I send them to Swisslog's facility, they train them rigorously for 5 days, they come back, in 3 months people leave. What do I do, right? We got to get to a point where these trainings, again, training are two types. One is operational training, second thing is maintenance training. It's a good distinction to make, because operational training, they make great equipment nowadays. You just push the button, they do everything on their own. Not much to train there. But when they go bad, how do we recover from that? That's where we specifically need that. So what if we can come to a point where there is a digital version of this training where anybody could just jump in, for example, put on a VR glass, and now you are driving them, like, go there, turn this screw, push that, do this. Anybody could do it. Now I'm not too concerned about the turnovers, right? So we got to get to that point where how do we do this that doesn't hurt them, doesn't hurt us, and we all reach to a good, comfortable position.
Yeah, and those are the conversations that are happening, right? I mean, having the keynote speakers at the spring and annual meeting, you know, talking about the pains, the challenges, how they overcame them, sharing that with their peers. Those are the sessions that grab, I think, the most attention, and why we're seeing the membership within the solutions community grow the way it has, because they're getting real value for a very rather nominal investment, right?
It's certainly real value when you can bring your own problem to the conversation. Are you seeing through the solutions community that you're gaining kind of some data or information on what the trending challenges are? Would you say that there's a few that you could identify and share with us in terms of the biggest challenges that people have brought forward?
We are being very conscious about how we get to solving this. To Bill's point earlier, we spend a limited amount of time in the group, apart from our original jobs. So we don't want to bring in a lot of topics and try to solve them at the same time and not do anything. So we are targeting one after the other. Yeah, okay, Bill brought this point, Vikram got this point, let's focus on this one. Let's find a solution. And that's how this happened, right? We are done with this, now we have moved on to something else, and then we'll move on to something else. But I think that's the most important thing, that we see a solution before we grab everything in. But I can tell you there is a lot of shared pain about what all we can discuss. Yes, the businesses are different, but at the base, the operations are all the same.
Yeah, for me, as a provider of solutions, the trends that are happening right now, what are the challenges we're overcoming? I mean, we all know labor availability. Costs are going up. Our service levels as customers, as a consumer, we're demanding things cheaper and faster, more conveniently, right? It's not getting any cheaper to build warehouses. And we need to figure out a way to, as I mentioned earlier, like meet people on their journey in different places and be able to talk about what technologies really are creating value and not necessarily be just because of the new shiny toy.
Shiny toy.
Yeah, like they would talk about leading edge versus bleeding edge, right? There's a clear differentiation between, like, there's some really spectacular stuff coming, right? But it takes time. And I think that for the practitioners to be able to listen of what someone's going through and not be afraid to embrace investing in technology? You know, because there's a, we have memories, right? We all have had that one project that's gone sideways, and it leaves a lasting impression in your brain that it's very hard to forget. But it's nice to have other people that have gone through your pains and seen how you've overcome them. It's exciting. There's plenty of problems to solve for here, but there's plenty of solutions.
And you were talking a lot there about kind of working with other people to get to where you're trying to be and your result and your solutions. Is there a lot of collaboration that happens to find the final solutions between like suppliers, integrators, end users? What's that collaboration actually look like in practice?
We don't really collaborate within the solutions community. It's more making the connection to companies. So they're identifying, hey, look, this company XYZ can solve this problem for me. I want to know more about this, and they can go and have a separate conversation. It's a safe space of sharing of ideas and problems, and then you, as the end user, can, you know, Vikram can go and say, I want to talk to this company.
Yeah, we have a group. I recently took another problem that we had, operational problem, where we recently switched to paper-based labels for our shipments from the plastic pouch and all those things. And we are encountering new issues with cold chain condensation and the labels peeling off, and FedEx or UPS, somebody complaining that, hey, we're not able to see this. What do we do? And it's a challenge for us. We like where we ended up with the entire system of how the labeling is done automatically, but then this is a new challenge that we did not know where to go to find a solution. Paper-based, you can't really fight physics, right? When there is water on paper, it gets soggy. So how do we do this? Good thing was, I brought up that question to the group. The heartwarming thing was, I know there were some competitors in that group compared to what we already have, but everybody was pitching in about what they have done, say, in the food industry, where they also deal with cold chain, some ideas here and there. It may not be the solution that we are looking for, but they are certainly driving us in the right direction about what to think, who we can talk to, is there an assessment part that we could do, things like that. There are options that are coming up which I, by myself or our team, may not be able to end up with.
Now, Vikram, where's that conversation happening right now? So when someone's giving you that feedback, what does it actually look like? Are you getting an email individually? Is there a sit down with everybody? Like, tell us the options that you have
available. We have a bi-monthly meeting about this in different groups. So the question has to be relevant to that group, right, of course. So when that comes in, that's when we have a list, long list of things that we want to talk. So that's the best way that a solution committee is doing. They are maintaining a list of questions to be asked, maintaining a list of issues to be addressed. And we are hitting it one after the other. Whenever that comes up, we are talking about it. So we do have a bi-monthly meeting coming across, and there is a follow-up saying, hey, this is what we talked about. Vikram, by the way, these are the pointers for you for the next steps.
And in my role, like, we have our monthly meeting, and we're reviewing some of these conversations that have been going on the practitioner level. And like, we're also making decisions on how we communicate it to the wider, larger group within the meetings we have.
So now I'm wondering, what role does a solutions community play in kind of driving or shaping trends and best practices for an integrated supply chain?
Wow, I think that the way I would put that is to my earlier first comment that it is more academic. Once everybody is at the same page, they all think the same way, and we should be able to get to a good solution. So that goes about bringing our problems to the solution providers, their solutions to the practitioners, having white papers. If you go to solutions committee, you will find hundreds of white papers on different topics that people can really understand how things are done, why some things failed, why some things are successful. Again, more on the academic side of it. I believe there is an intention to develop young talent who are at the university levels to know more about what the material handling industry is doing or how the automation is doing, what are the new trends, and get them to be at the same level where they can now talk the same jargon. So they're also providing some scholarships, if I remember. I've seen that on their sites too. So they are really attacking this in a multi-pronged way to make sure that we all come up to the same level organically for everybody's benefit. And that's where I see the value in the solution committee.
Yeah, for me as the OEM, I see it as an opportunity to put my information out there. it's a non-biased organization that, you know, you talk to anybody today in the industry that's procuring these solutions, 70% of their due diligence is being done online or without even talking to someone, right? Before my teams even get engaged with your teams, you know, you guys have already made a decision who you want to work with, right? And having something like the solutions community and MHI, how we put the information out there, allows me to put SwissLog's information within MHI, show that we have credibility and we have answers to certain problems, and they can go to, they can feel comfortable that it's not a sales pitch.
You've got two sides to the coin. You've got the fact that you can actually find really great solutions, you can also market yourself in a nice way, and even a third, because you've got access to this research and information on kind of what's trending and some white papers. If someone was looking for those white papers, recommend they're part of the solutions community, is there like an area to search by keyword to find something, to find a problem you might already be facing, or how does that work?
First and foremost, please join the solution committee and you get a lot of information. And then there are different sections to it. Like we talked about the scholarships part, the blogs part. There are many videos explaining how all these things work too, right? To your point, go search for it, you get the results, and then find what you want. Sometimes they won't even know what to search for, and that is where all these meetings come in, right?
Right, good point. You don't know how to solve your problem and know what to search for until you really get key on what even is the problem that you're framing, and then where can you go from there?
We're working on that. We're trying to optimize the search engines, right, to make sure that these topics come up and they're being taken to an MHI page and not just some, let's say, a random website.
Right? Sure, or the individual marketing materials as opposed to somewhere where you can find these kind of shared solutions.
Right.
Wonderful. This is a lot of great information about the solutions community. Is there any final thoughts you want someone to know if they're deciding whether to join or they're here on the show and want to know anything more?
I think as I say every time we have a meeting, get involved, get engaged. You can't make change if you don't participate. So. Find the time.
Yeah, and I would say, like I said, first join, go through this intake form, submit what you are looking for, and you have a large group of people who can act on what you're trying to ask and show you the way. And people could come back and ask, okay, fine, you took the form. I just want to quickly go over the process that we go through. A new practitioner coming in, they submit this intake form. They tell us what they want, but they don't know how to get there. So we have a group of SMEs who would look at that, strip off the names, share it with the solution providers, saying, what can you do about this? We get the solutions. We put a decision matrix for the practitioner, present it to them. And the question came back, then what? We did not know much early. Now we are only one step forward. We know all this. How do we move forward yet? So there is a lot more work yet to be done. We want to do that, and I'll be happy to do if somebody wants to hold my hand and walk the next few steps for me too, right? Joining forces, what we don't have, right? Let's say there is a gap of what do we do next, and somebody joining new has the answer for that, right? They can take that step and fill that gap for us. So that's why we are requesting everybody, join the community, let's all talk, let's all solve problems. I'm already seeing the benefit of it.
There you go. We all have challenges. There's no doubt about that. So the solutions community is a really great option for where to go next time when you're wondering. All right. Thank you very much, Vikram Kaluru and Bill Stenger, for being with us here today. That was our live podcast from the MHI ProMat 2025 show floor. And at MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to take you and your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thank you for making us part of your professional development journey. Right.